I think most of us are very familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau and their families. And one of the things that I look at is all the different things that are happening, not only here, but in the world, and how it seems like instead of enjoying, okay, what God has given us, we're complicating it more and more and more. We're a divided nation. Our people are all over the place. And if you want the news, and if you want the news and all the different things that they're coming up with, who's blaming who, and all the I didn't do that, you did, you said I did, and but we don't hear anything that really matters. I guess you know that the vice president is a believer. Yeah. He's a very strong, godly man. And this last week, he was criticized publicly for his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's sad. When we can take the gifts that God has blessed us with, like television, radio, and that kind of stuff, and start using it to malign people who are righteous, people who are living in the right manner, especially who are dedicated and followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. One of the announcers that I happen to watch made a statement, and he said, I'm praying for those people. That's what we need to do, is pray. Amen? Amen. Yeah. The Word of God says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah. And so when you're right with God, just stop and think how beautiful that is, because there are so many people who need the Lord. Amen? And I'm every day of my life, I'm so grateful and thankful for how good God is to me and to my family. I need the Lord every day of my life, and by the grace of God, I'm very, very thankful just to be able to serve Him and get the opportunity to share the Lord. So this morning, I hope that we're all blessed by what God has given me to share with you. And it's a story, a little bit of the story of Joseph. It's not much, because in order to follow the life of Joseph, you would have to start from the beginning and go, and it takes, it would take a while to go through it, because there's an awful lot to it. Joseph was a young man who was 17 years old, and he believed in God, and he had strong faith in God. And one of the important things that I look at is the teaching of young people, the teaching of children. The greatest responsibility that we have is to share with them who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and who the Holy Spirit of God is. And we need to do that. My wife and I went out for dinner, and we were at a restaurant, and we happened to sit next to a lady and two children. And they were just 4 and 5 years old, and enjoying the atmosphere. They were drawing and that kind of stuff. And then they brought the food. And when they brought the food, all three of them put their hands together, and the little boy is 4 years old, prayed. You know, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm saying, dear God, look at this room full of people, and look at these children and what they're doing. You know, and we need to get back to God, people.
Amen.
You know, I hope that you not only come to service on Sunday, but that you read the Word, that you apply the Word, that you're doers of the Word. Because I'll tell you what, every day problems come up, trials come up. And if you don't have God inside of you, it's going to be very difficult for you to deal with. Amen? And this is the story that we're picking up on here in chapter 39. Joseph had been sold by his brothers to some people from another country, and he was going to be sold as a slave. Now, it's kind of hard for us to take a look at somebody who's a believer and see them going through difficulty. See them get into a point to where they're saying, well, wait a minute, I thought he loved God and that he was following God. One of the most important things is the preparation that God has in teaching us and in molding us to be the servants that he has made us to be. Amen? And it's something that, regardless of who you are, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, why did God allow that? I don't question God. I trust God, and I depend upon God. Now, and every day of my life, I need God. Amen? And the story here, it says in chapter 39 and verse 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him on the hands of Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. Now here's a young kid that's 17 years old. And his soul is a slave, and some people would wonder what his thoughts were when he was put in front of the people to be sold. And I believe he was thanking God for where he was and what was going on in his life. We read in the Bible where Paul and Silas were in prison. And they started singing songs to God instead of complaining and murmuring. And when that happened, God did a miracle. Amen? Yeah. And it's funny, when we're going through something difficult, turn to God, okay? Start singing to God, okay? Instead of grumbling about it, complaining about it, you know, remember that God is bigger than the circumstances. Don't let the circumstances get bigger than God. Amen? Because it's not true. You're being lied about that. Amen? Anyway, in verse 2 it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Every day of our lives, before I leave my house, and many, many, hopefully as many times as I get to a job, I always thank God for another day. I always want to humble myself before God. Thank you so much for watching over my wife and I and our family, our complex where we live, our neighborhood. Dear God, the homeless. I have met so many homeless up there, and I the opportunity to encourage them and to share with them that God loves them and that God knows where they're at. You'd be surprised how many people look at you and says, God knows where I'm at? Yes, he does. When I get the privilege and the honor to serve downtown at God's Extended Hand, I always tell the people, you're not here because you wanted to be here. You're here because God brought you here. He wanted to reach out to you, you know. And that's a blessing because you came to get a meal, but God's got something better for you. And every day, God's got something better for us. See, and here where it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was a slave. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a television, okay? He wasn't going to go and play golf, okay? You see, he didn't have any plans. His plans were already made, amen? You see, if we belong to Christ, he's already made our plans for us because we belong to him, amen? Yeah. When we take it upon ourselves to go ahead and take the lead in our lives is when we fall down. And then we want to know why. We left God out. Okay? Don't wake up without God and don't leave without God. Moses said, if you don't go, I won't go. I don't want to go. Yeah. And neither do I. Amen? And it's something that each and every one of us, regardless of who we are, if you believe, then, you know, apply your faith to what God has blessed you with. He's given you another day of life. Amen? I had a chance this week to go and see a young man. I was called, and he was dying. And I've known this young man for a long time. And when I got there, he doesn't turn, or he's laying in one position. I said, please help me. Can you hear me? And he goes, I said, Jesus loves you. Yeah. He never wanted to receive the Lord for as many years as I've known him. And his sister walked in. And there was four of us in the room in there. And it turned out that his sister said, I wanna confess, and I want Jesus, you know. And I'm sitting right there, and I'm going like, wow, Lord, I hear this gentleman is dying, and look at what's happening. You're right here in the midst of us, and you're extending your hand. You know, what a blessing that is. You know, sometimes I find myself in a very tight and difficult place. And the first thing I said, dear God, please help me. I need you. I need you. Please help me. Yeah. And he does. Amen? See, he's faithful. And he was there with us. The young man passed away, and I hope that he received Christ that day. Yeah. He was hearing everything that was saying, and we prayed for him, and hopefully he said, you know, Lord, please forgive me, and please come into my life. So, only God knows that. I don't. Amen? But the word says that he was a prosperous man. Yeah. I think sometimes we misunderstand what prosperity is. Yeah. I've shared this before with people. I was walking our little dog, and I ran across a homeless guy, and he was on his knees. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm praying. I said, let me join you. And I said, what are you praying about? He said, I'm thanking God for the cans and the bottles and everything he's going to provide for me so that I can pick them up and go sell them and get myself something to eat. And I'm going like, wow, man, you know, this we need that kind of faith, you know. Most of the homeless people that I find have excuses for what's going on in their lives, but there are some out there who believe, amen? And boy, what a difference do they make. I had this same man, I chaired at the Bible study, came up, and I very seldom have a lot of money in my wallet. I was walking my dog as well, and he came up, and he said, I'd like to borrow $100 from you. I said, I don't have it. I said, but I have 20. I said, I'll give it to you. So I did. Took off. Thank you. And 4 weeks went by. And I'm walking the dog, and I've seen him again. Oh, hi, how are you? And I said, oh, doing well. So we got together, prayed together. And I started to walk away, and he said, wait a minute. So he ran up to me, and he came over and gave me the $20 back. And I'm looking and I'm saying, wow, you know, yeah. You know, I mean, the way that some people are, you don't need to know where, you know where their heart is, amen? You know? And this is what I look at Joseph. Joseph didn't have anything, but he was prosperous. He had God. And when you have God, you have everything, amen? Everything, because God has everything, amen? In verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made him all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's always beautiful to see people that believe and how they are in life and what they're doing in life. Not necessarily by wealth, okay, but by the kind of life that they live. I shared with you guys, when I was 40 years old, I was an alcoholic. And I was about to lose my wife and my children. And I turned to God. I said, Lord, please help me. If you don't help me, I'm going to die. And by the grace of God, I've been married to my wife for 51 years. And not only that, but the following day, God took the alcohol that week. He took the alcohol, and I've never had a drink since by the grace of God. Yeah. So I know, you see, a lot of people maybe don't look at things, but I look at where I've been, and I'm so grateful for where I'm at. And I don't want to forget who got me to where I'm at. Amen? Yeah. And this is something very important in my life, and I share it with people. I work for 3 millionaires, and I'll tell you what, every time that I get a chance to tell them, I tell them who Jesus Christ is and how they need him in his life. Yeah. And whether they hear or not, I don't know, but I hope they do. Amen? In verse 4, it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. That means he was serving his master. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Do you trust? Yeah. Here's this guy that had everything. Cars, garages, horses, you name it. He had everything. Yeah. And he turned it all over to this kid that was 17 years old. And he said, I want you to take care of it. Yeah. Because he saw what God was doing in him. Yeah. And that's the kind of people that we need to be, you know. We need, Lord, you need to increase, and I need to what? Decrease. People need to see you and not me. They need you. They don't need me. Yeah. Every day of our lives, how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, how we carry ourselves, how we do things. Yeah. In verse 5, it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer of his house and over all he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I mean, what a statement that is, that what kind of people do you bring to your house? I was in somebody's home this week, and they told me, you don't want to go to that house. It's a bad house. Yeah. All kinds of bad things happen there. Yeah. I didn't walk in the house, but I felt bad for that kind of report. You know, that nothing good was going on in that house. You know, how sad that is, that people might have all kinds of wealth and everything else, and yet the most important thing is they don't have God and they don't have the love of God in their lives. Amen? Yeah. So when you bring people into your house, be careful who you bring in. Amen? Yeah. But invite people, okay, that will be a blessing to you and to your home. Just listen to what it said, that and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And God touched everything, okay, everything that this man had. And he wasn't a believer. He was just an ordinary man, but he could see the difference of God being in this young man's life. Yeah. That's what we need. We need that difference in our lives, okay? Not in arguments, not in criticism. When you talk to people, okay, choose your words, okay? You don't need to curse. You don't need to talk like they do, okay? Just speak and ask God to help you to speak, amen? Bring God into your conversation. Bring God into what you're doing. And what's the difference, amen? In verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands and knew not what he had and the bread for which he ate. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That's something that to me is something that I cry out to God all the time, and I'm thankful to God. Lord, thank you for giving us favor with you and with the people that we work for. By the grace of God, I do plumbing work. And I've been doing plumbing work for about 45 years. But I don't advertise. Most of the people that call me are people that I've been referred to. And that's favor from God, because I don't advertise. I just, Lord, thank you for providing for me and my family. And by that help, my children have been fed and nurtured and have grown up and become adults in life. Amen. In verse 7, and it came to pass after this things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Every day of our lives, temptation comes our way. Okay. Who do you listen to? Do you listen to the people that are offering you something? Remember Adam and Eve, you know. Remember when the enemy came to Eve and he offered her what? The fruit. Take a bite of it, you know. And then she offered her husband a bite and he took it. He didn't say, well, God told us not to eat from that. No, he didn't say anything. You see, this is the difference in knowing who God is in your life and your faith in God. When somebody offers you something and they're giving you something, what's it going to do to you? What's it going to do to your home? What's it going to do to your life? Yeah. You see, it's important. I get into a lot of conversations with a lot of different people and a lot of different places, and I always, Lord, help me. I need to share with them the truth, because your word says the truth will set you free. They don't need my opinion. There's a lot of opinions in this world. They need the truth of God. Amen? And if you read it and you know it and you apply it, man, what a blessing that is. That's what we're looking at. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, this young man was handsome, okay? And he had a tremendous opportunity. He's been given the reins to run a large complex and everything that was in it. You know? Sometimes authority has a way of ruining people. It goes to their head. Okay? They think, well, I've got it made. You know, I can do this and I can do that, and guess what? I'm king around here. It's not true. Okay? You see, this lady found, you know, she liked Joseph, and she offered herself to him. Okay. Now, it's sad, okay, because Joseph had demonstrated an entirely different kind of personality to her. But she didn't see, okay, and I want you to notice that. She didn't see what her husband saw. See, her husband saw that everything he did and everything he was because of God. You see, she only looked at the outside appearance. Okay? And the Word of God says for you to look at what? The heart. That's what God looks at. Amen? And that, you see, that is something that's very important in our lives. Amen? Because if Jesus is in there, then you got the right thing inside of you. Amen? In verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's called relationship, it's called faith, it's called what you believe. Because when you're prepared and you start out your life every day with God and throughout the day, okay, what a difference it is. You see, the Holy Spirit of God gave him the answer that he gave her. You see, and I need that wisdom, I need that help. Because a lot of times when somebody says something offensive, I'm just like you are. I get angry. Yeah. And sometimes you want to say and do the wrong thing. You know. But if you stop and you go back to the morning where you said, thank you, Lord, helping me to get up again. Thank you for blessing my wife and I, our children. Thank you for this home. Thank you for this bed. Thank you for the food in the refrigerator. Thank you for the transportation. Thank you for everything that we have, Lord. Because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have anything. Yeah. And what a difference that is. Because you see, you've already started out with the right attitude. You started out knowing who has provided for you and acknowledging that. See, the Word of God said, don't only be a hearer, but what? Be a doer, okay? With your heart you believe, and your mouth you what? Confess. Yeah. In verse 10, and it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, temptations and trials will come and will come and will come until the very last day that you're here. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not perfect, you know, sometimes I lose it. Amen to that. But God knows who we are, amen? There's an important passage in the life of David when a prophet came to him and he was telling him about his sin with Bathsheba and what he had done. And the prophet said, but God has forgiven you. You know, I don't know if you read that, but I value that. Because you see, without God's forgiveness, I wouldn't be here. You see, I'm a sinner and I have sinned against God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross and paying the price of my sin. Because without you, I wouldn't be here. Now, I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have my children, you know. Only by the grace and help of God. And only by them do I live the life that I live every day. You know, and I'll be forever thankful for that. Amen? Remember, the word here says day by day. In other words, this woman persisted, okay, day by day in exposing herself to Joseph, all right, to invite him. And guess what? He didn't want no part of it. Now, one of the things that I would advise, you know, is if you know someone is tempting you and someone is putting something in your road that becomes a stumbling block, don't go there. Amen? Yeah. You see, I would rather not go there. And my advice to Joseph is, guess what? don't go in the house. I would have worked around everything else, and if I would have went and gone in the house, I'd have gone in with three or four of the other people. You know, because there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Amen. So something that that I appreciate very much. And here we were taught that it's important that we always have people around us when there's people come in for counseling or what have you. So it's an important process, and I'm very grateful for that. In verse 11, and it came to pass about that time that Joseph went into the house to do the business, and there was none of the men in the house therein. So he was all alone. He had gone back in again. And she caught him and by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It's called ambush. Okay? The opportunity was right. Okay? You see, she was telling him, "Hey, don't worry about my husband. He'll never find out about this." And he's telling her, "I'm not worried about your husband. God is going to find out about this, and I don't want to break my relationship with God." You see, why don't you get it? You see, we ask God to help us to live our life for Him. Lord, please don't let go of us. Please help us every day, because we need to. We need to. We need your strength. We need your guidance. We need the Holy Spirit to help us in everything. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm so grateful for that. Amen? In verse 13, it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, she fled forth, that she called unto the man of her house and spoke unto them, saying, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me." And I cried out, you know, you ever got into a conversation or got into a type of situation where you knew somebody was lying? You hadn't said what they were saying you said, or you hadn't done, and you just stand there, and they are saying it with such a straight face, and you're like, wow, you know. I watched Judge Judy, and she said, "I'm not here because I'm beautiful. I'm here because I'm smart." Yeah. I stop and I go, wow. You know? But sometimes she makes a lot of sense about getting to the facts of something. And that's what we need to do. Okay? You see, know who you deal with. Okay? The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not someone else. Amen? Yeah. I sincerely believe that, and I do my best to follow it. I get asked for a lot of advice on a lot of different things, and Lord, please help me to point them to you and to what your word says, because they need to do what you say, not what I say. If you want to advise somebody, read the word. The answers are all in here. Okay? The solutions are all in here. The resources are all right here. All you need to do is partake of it. Okay? Apply it. Put it to your life. You want to prosper? You know, do it God's way. Amen? And it came to pass when he heard I had lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord, her husband, came home. And she spoke unto him, saying, "According to this word, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled." Now, all of a sudden, she's accusing, okay, Joseph of doing something that he never did. Now, I want you to really take to heart what happens next. A lot of people want to stand up and say, "I didn't do it." Okay? I'm not guilty of that. If you have not done something and you know it, okay, let God represent you. You see, some people find that hard because they're saying, wait a minute, here's a godly man, and look at what's happening to him. Look at how he's being accused and all of that. We're not here to do our will. We're here to do the will of God. And God is sovereign. He knows and controls everything, and he's aware of everything. Okay? You see, when you read the story of Joseph, he had a plan that he was putting together. Okay? And there was a lot of things that Joseph had to learn. Okay? But in the process of learning them, he was learning how God was showing him what to do, and he was doing that. And in the process of doing that, look at the kind of life that he had. Everywhere he went, okay, God was with him. And what do you need? God. When God is with you, who can be against you? Amen? Yeah, you see, that's the important things in our lives. Is if God is with you right there, what else do you need? Yeah. I remember the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to them and she said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am. In other words, I can give your brother life right now. And she messed it all together. Yes, I know my brother is going to rise up on the last day. That's not what Jesus was telling her. You see, when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he meant it. Amen? And we need that. We need him every step of the way. Amen? And it came to pass when his master heard this word, which he spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. In other words, he got angry, frustrated, and hey, you know. Now, he knew. This is the same man that he knew who he was dealing with, and he knew that Joseph hadn't done that. But he had to make a choice. My wife or Joseph? Many years ago, I had a gentleman that worked for me. I had eight guys working. And I've shared this before. Seven of those guys came to me and they said, we don't want this guy working with us. And I said, why? He's a good worker. Why don't you want him working? We don't know, but we don't want him here. You know, I said, well, I'm sorry, that ain't good enough for me. He does his work and he's always on time, and you know, that's all that's important to me. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to listen to you guys. And as it turned out, we went to do a job. And when we went to do a job out of town, I found out why they didn't like him. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke marijuana. And he read his Bible, and he left everybody alone. See, that's what they didn't like. They didn't like the conviction of looking at someone, okay, live a godly life. Now, you see, this is the whole thing of why people hate us, amen? Yeah. See, we love Jesus, and we want to please Jesus, and we want to serve Jesus, amen? Yeah. And Joseph's master, verse 20, took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. All of a sudden, this same young man is now in prison, and he had done absolutely nothing wrong, okay? But through all of these things, nothing had happened to him, yeah? The point was that God was leading him. The Word of God says, follow me, okay? Follow Jesus, amen? Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor and the side of the keeper of the prison. Remember I was telling you, when you have God, you have everything? I don't think that downtown one of the marshals or sheriffs is going to come up to a prisoner and say, here's all the keys to all the cells, man, you know, want you to take care of that. That's what the guy did. Yeah. He turned the whole prison over to a 17-year-old kid that, you know, because the Word of God said he gave him favor. See, when God gives you favor, you don't need the things of this world. See, what a blessing that is to have everything and know it, because it gives you what? Peace and joy in your life that money and nothing else can give you. Amen? And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. You know, he ran the prison. Coming from an accusation that he had tried to rape someone, now he's put in charge of someplace. Now, who could do that? God. Sometimes, by the grace of God, we had a chance for about 8-9 years to work with people who came from prison, and a lot of them who had drug habits, who had dual diagnosed personalities, schizophrenia, all kinds of different problems. I had never worked with anybody. I had never learned. I had never gone to college to become a psychologist, okay? I didn't know how to work with these people. But I humbled myself before God, and I said, Lord, please help me to serve them and love them. And you know that was the greatest blessing of my life, was to work with those people and just love them. I saw what God could do, and I saw God change a lot of lives. And it had nothing to do but that, just love. And that makes such a difference in our lives. Amen? Yeah. In verse 23, it says, the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Yeah. Again, one of the most important things that I think we're kind of caught up in sometimes is prosperity. You know, what do you have? Well, I got this bigger than yours. Oh, yeah, no. Prosperity for me, okay, just for me, okay. I go to work, try my best every day, and I love what I do, and I thank God for that. I'm blessed to be here in front of you, because only God could help me to get here, not no one else. By the grace of God, we have been in this building over 20-some-odd years now. And when we came here, this building was destroyed. And by the grace of God, we all worked and put it together. And you come now and you enjoy what God blessed and provided for us. And I see a transformation. I've known so many people here for the last 25 years, and I've seen God do a transformation in their lives. I was telling my wife this morning, God's doing a transformation in your life as well. Just like he did with Joseph. God takes you, and you grow, and you grow. But God is the one that's doing everything in your life. That's what he did for Joseph, and that's what he can do for you. Amen?